And good morning. You've tuned in to the KRFY Morning Show on this beautiful, I'll say beautiful because why not, Wednesday, March 1st day. And it is the first day of March, and here we go into a whole big long month called March. Goodbye, February. And this is the Morning Show on KRFY. This is our community, listener-supported community radio station. I'm Susie Prez, one of your co-hosts this morning, and my other co-host is Joanne Royan. Good morning, Joanne.
Hi, Susie.
And it's really nice to have you. You sat in with me while Chris has gone a few weeks ago, so welcome back. And we have a guest in the studio. Joanne, why don't you introduce our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Lindy Lewis, and she is the founder, creator, woman of power, I guess, with Underground Kindness, a wonderful organization we're going to learn more about today.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lindy.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's so nice to have you. And, you know, I heard about your project 5 years ago, and I can't wait to hear about it. But before we get to that.
Oh, a little weather.
I think a little weather from the National
right.
Weather Service.
It's snowing.
It is snowing. And no doubt it's going to snow a lot more today. Currently, it's 32 degrees, and we have a winter warning, hazardous weather condition warning outlook. Winter weather advisory, 100 to 60% chance of snow, then rain and snow likely, high today 40. So if it does get up to 40, it will be rain on top of all that nice soft snow. So high of 40, total daytime accumulation of 1 to 2 inches possible. Tonight, a chance of rain and snow before 7 p.m., then a chance of snow, cloudy with low around 30, wind 6 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 60% after that. New snow accumulation less than 1 inch. Thursday, I'm looking down the line, and Friday, and Saturday and Sunday, just about the same exact forecast. Mm. Highs in the 40s, low 40s, and lows in the low 30s, which means snow and rain. So there you go. I'm looking way down the line to next Tuesday. I still see no sunshine, but that's okay. It's still winter. We just want it to be spring.
We've had a lot of sun. I mean, for this time of year.
Yeah. So there you go with the weather.
The skiers like the snow, so.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I guess we'll just get to it, Lindy.
All right.
I wanted to just read a little bit about your vision, I think it is, that I was hoping to read, if I can find it. Underground Kindness is a nonprofit organization introducing young people to the practice and philosophies of self-awareness, self-expression, and intentional living. Underground Kindness focuses on empowering students, supporting teachers, and connecting community within public schools. So this was your dream. This was your vision 5 years ago. That's who we are now. How did it start? What inspired you? What was your vision? And how did it all come about?
Okay, well, we'll get to some of that. So Underground Kindness, it's a nonprofit. And I went through a series of hardships in my life, disease, dyslexic, some disabilities with a child, divorce, a lot of those crazy things. And a disease landed in my body, multiple sclerosis. And I kept kind of boxing it up and powering through life. And then the disease obviously progressed because it's a progressive disease. And I kind of hard righted out of corporate America, and I started taking some yoga, and I started thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great if I could have learned some of these techniques? I mean, a lot of the choices I made, not that I regret any of them, because my life's really turned out lovely, but it would be so nice if I would have had some of these tools to sort of think for myself, to question my conditioning, to not just do what I do because that's what you're supposed to do. So I thought, well, let's start. And so I started just teaching the yoga after school. And it was so crazy. I would have, you know, 2 kids one day and 25 the next and 8 and 7 the 9. And it was just amazing, Susie, because I'd see you guys and they'd leave and they'd be like, oh, we love this so much. I'm like, why don't you come every week? Your body needs this so much. And they ended up saying, we just can't. They have so many pressures and things to get to.
So you saw a lot of pressures in the students. What grades were you bringing this yoga to initially?
Just high school at the time. Yeah, it was just focused on high school. And it was actually always intended to start up at grade 7, and we're just this year getting into the middle school a little bit more intentionally, and but it took a while. So it's always just been in the public high school. We've had quite a few in the charter school, and then we've gone outside of the community a tiny bit with these classes. And so just basically the concept is to present various, well, let me just circle back to the yoga. It is not just, the yoga was lovely, and it's more intentional stretching and holding space for the kids to have a moment in their busy schedules to just breathe and take a breath and take a moment for themselves. And then I realized it's not just about their movement in their body. It's a lot of the thinking that they're doing in their own minds. And so I thought, well, let's add a layer to it, and let's bring some of these amazing, talented people in our community that had helped me do a lot of my reframing and rethinking, and put them into the schools and offer them as a basically a guest speaker in classrooms. And the after school is a wonderful thing, but it's very hard to get kids to commit because they're so busy with homework, with jobs, with SATs, with applying for colleges, and just helping at home. A lot of these kids help a lot at home. So we ended up, I worked with one of the, Becky Kaber, and now Tom Albertson has been incredibly supportive of our program, and to get them into classes. And so when I say them, I call them our compassionists. And it's just a word I made up because I didn't like the word mentor. Mentor is a great word, but to me, I like to invent terms. It's very creative and fun. So, and this project is quite creative, really. And so we line up when maybe a class is, maybe a Spanish teacher has a substitute, and you can't just have a sub come in and teach Spanish. So this is a great way for one of our compassionists to drop in and present a life skill, a tool, a technique to maybe move through some of the hardships and their thinking.
So how did you really get started then in the school during the school day? So it was working with the principal, you've said, but why don't you expand on that a bit?
Sure. Well, actually, it was me just kind of running around to a lot of guide kids in school and running around with a lot of those teachers I knew, say, hey, can we try this? Kathy Holmes was a great one because she teaches a CNA nursing course. And I said, can I start there? And I went in just sort of talking about, like, I think your beliefs completely affect your biology. And that's me, what I've seen in my body. And so I started there, and I found a couple of other teachers that would just let me introduce this concept. And as we started doing this, the teachers, this was the benefit that I didn't ever intend, but this is just how, when you let things kind of grow organically, it works. But I just always intended to kind of give kids some support, to trust their knowing, to listen to their own wisdom that's in them every day and not get talked out of it. But the teachers who we supported, they were supported in a way they typically aren't supported, because it's all academics, which is it's a great, great asset. But this just brings a sort of a balance to it here and there. So the teachers were supported and really enjoying having a new perspective in the classroom.
So I'm still trying to envision, I guess, how many times you go to each class, or do you do a several day program, or how is that structured?
Sure. It is very, it's very much on a as they need it basis. Again, one of our real, the ways that we've kind of fallen into getting used, our compassionists are getting asked to present, is when they're substitutes. So when you've got a computer class or a Spanish or a cooking, and you can't have one of your substitutes necessarily teach that lesson, they'll drop one of our compassionists in there to offer a lesson plan.
Well, so the teacher doesn't show up and the students are there for their class, and here comes this other person that's the substitute for the day through the school district. So they've been approved, they've been screened.
Okay,
they're ready to go.
That's a great question. The substitute is always in the classroom.
Okay.
This is a great thing. So the compassionist comes in with as a school district employee or someone who is hired to teach that class. So they get the lesson too, essentially, but it's really, we're a guest speaker. We're presenting a guest opinion, essentially.
So it can be last minute. So these folks are volunteers on call.
It can be last minute for like me, or we've just been able to hire a program director, because she was able to make that a little bit last minute. And there's a few others that can be a little more last minute because it's in our world. But no, it's harder because we need to give people some note, a little bit of notice to plan.
So the students, have they been prepped for the fact that they might be doing some stretching and yoga instead of computer science because their teacher is gone?
Sure.
And just what is the response of the students when this enhanced class comes together?
Yeah. This is really good questioning because so yoga goes specifically into the PE classes, and then we'll do a mindful class, more of a authentic relating games, or we'll do Be Unique, which is YOUNIQUE, and we'll teach those classes to an actual more of a classroom setting. And the kids have, they're starting to know Underground Kindness is a bit more mainstream. They're like, oh, we have an Underground Kindness presenter. And they're pretty much aware. In the beginning, it was like, what? But they always left feeling good. And they couldn't really explain it, but they left feeling good. And that was a real positive. And they might have taken away a way to sort of think about questioning their thinking. Or if they came, we do a class we like to teach is sort of the triangle of disempowerment, teaching kids, you know, if somebody's projecting onto you, don't take it personal. Maybe they had a bad morning. We don't know what's going on for them. So try to hold that space for them. So that's how that actually works. So these compassionate, we have various ones. We have ones that just teach yoga, and we have ones that like to teach more of the mindful classes.
This is so interesting, and I want to hear everything. I have a million questions, and I know Joanne does too, but I want to remind our listeners, if you've just tuned in, you are listening to the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show. This is Wednesday, March 1st, and our guest is Lindy Lewis. She's the developer and the visioner of the program that's at our middle school and high school called the Underground Kindness Program Project.
It's just Underground Kindness. It's okay. Really quite a quiet movement.
So right now we're talking about this new program comes into the school. It's now in its fourth or fifth year.
Fifth.
Mm-hmm. And it took a while to kind of integrate the thoughts and the design. another question. So you're talking about the students are getting used to the fact that there are these extra people that come in when there's a substitute.
It's a guest speaker.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. a nice way to look at it.
Right.
And you say their response is pretty good because some students just want to sit in the back. They don't want to have to talk. And share their inner feelings, sort of.
What we found, though, is it creates a bit of a more authentic way for them to connect with each other. A perfect example is authentic relating, a great class that is taught often. In fact, we just had a whole series of them in the middle school last week. And you actually will stand face-to-face with a student, and you'll teach them just to acknowledge each other and maybe notice something that's going on for that other person. And I'll tell you, the interesting aspect of that is that at the end of these classes, the kids, there's a little lighter lightness to it. And the kids tend to, they get to know kids in their class that they have gone to school with, but don't even know their names. So you mix up the kids, you get them to know a little bit about what's going on. And that sort of just softens the energy in the school. So they walk out there having a smile. They might open a door. They might pick up some trash at the it's a bit of the ripple. They take that kindness. I always tell the kids, it's like when you're nicer to yourself, you're nicer to others naturally.
So you in your written material, it talks about the ripple effect. So mm-hmm. I assume that's getting kids to, again, relate better to each other in school, and then they can continue to relate better and feel better about themselves out of school.
It's true. And, you know, so many kids, you know, we don't know what's going on in their home life. And there's a lot of stress in our world right now in general. And so it just gives them a few resources that they can draw on when they're having one of those moments that they need to sort of move through, if it's a mm-hmm. difficult period, or it just might put a smile on their face, or they might be able to use one of the techniques with a peer.
I was looking at or thinking about your goals, and one sentence that Cindy Albertson, one of the counselors, wrote, that we help students reach their full potential academically, socially, and emotionally. So do you feel like you've had success in that? And how do you measure that success?
We do have, this is great because as we've been around 5 years, 2 years ago, I actually got the whole 501 the infrastructure really happening. And so just in this last year, I've been able to start collecting data. And it's really hard to measure. It's like, oh, I just feel better when I leave. I maybe have a couple of things, or maybe talk a little nicer to myself. I don't have that comparative narrative going all day long. You know, so there's ways that they can start doing that, but it was a hard thing to measure. But we do have a statistic now that we are noticing that they have a higher self-esteem. Our overall statistics, it used to be in the beginning, we thought bullying was a top issue. It's way down on our chart. Right now, one of our highest statistics for kids' concerns and worry is life after high school. What's coming on down their pike? So we're just starting that. And I feel like we've got a good year. I hired a director of operations last year. We were able to get some funding to start to have some administrative support because it was, you know, it was pulling me out of the walk by trying to get it all together.
I just want to read your mission real quick because it brought up a question for me. Underground Kindness offers students tools for self-acceptance, authentic expression, and the ability to manage their emotional, mental, and physical well-being. So I wanted to get to what tools and how did you find the tools? Have you consulted with experts in the field, or does it become self-evident to what is needed? When you mentioned that students, their biggest concern often is what comes after high school. High school's protected, they're still with their families, and it's big out there in our world now, it's different. So back to where do you get your tools and the programs that you offer, and how did you come up with those?
Sure. So many of the tools are really ones that I think I've learned, and I recognize, I mean, I've learned the kind of the hard way because I was one of those overachiever, very driven personalities that, you know, was defined by the external. And so these are techniques that I've worked, and then I've had some of those teachers who have taught me in our community because we have amazing people that offer these things to people just in our community who are struggling with various issues. So this is where we've started to develop authentic relating tends to be one of our more popular ones. Again, softening the space that came in, Michael Welp brought that in and then started a teacher training. Leslie Villelli teaches a lot of her happiness on purpose classes in there for the kids. And so really the whole Julie Hutzer will go in and she'll teach sort of like looking at your core beliefs and how you can maybe address ones that don't serve you. I like to go in, like I say, and talk a lot about your biology and how the beliefs that you have really will help your body go into a healing space or not. You have to, your thoughts tend to follow your notions. Thoughts become things is another class. Go with your gut. I think everything and all of our compassionists tend to teach aspects of trusting your own knowing. And that's, I think, a really big thing that these kids, when they are in totally an academic arena, they're very defined by the grades, by the external, and we're trying to get them to kind of quiet themselves before taking a test because they might actually find they know way more. You know, we do a whole series before some of the SATs talking about unwinding the mind. So just tapping a pencil can take them out of their, you know, their fast brain. And so as far as experts and resources, we have some counselors and therapists, but really it's just techniques that we have found really work. The students embrace it. We're not going to catch every kid. Mm-hmm. And we're not the end-all be-all. Underground Kindness is a seed planter so that kids can start questioning some of their conditioning, some of their thinking, some of the conventional thinking so that they can start to maybe mix up their thinking or not necessarily take everything so personal. You know, at that age, you're so formidable. You think somebody looks at you sideways and I mean, maybe they just had the kid had a bad morning, but you take that personal, you know, so it really starts to shape their opinion of themselves.
There's a note also about test anxiety. Have you ever had students come to you and say, wow, after, you know, hearing you and doing some of your techniques, I really feel like I did better on that test?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, what's been really fun is we've had some kids, you know, Leslie teaches a really fun one where, and she taught this to me, you know, when I was having some of those crazy rapid fire moments and I'm like, don't forget to teach that. And she teaches this thing where you just do like a body movement, you know, and so I came up with this one, kind of the hand jive and a little thing to it. And so kids will come up with a little movement or something to remind them to drop back into their knowing. Yeah, it's just a movement.
Brain gym activities.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's names for all of this. And fortunately, in our community, we have great teachers and great wisdom.
It sounds like it's evolved over the years. And this is, you're going into your fifth year or so. and it's evolving and people are getting involved. What are, how do people get involved? And I'm thinking about the support for this program from our community. You said therapists and counselors and different people.
And a lot of our just natural healers out
natural
there.
Natural healers, mm-hmm. that's a good way of putting it, have stepped up
because we
care. People care about these children. And if there are things and techniques and tools that can help them, I'm sure that this, you know, they're our children, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I always joke with the kids, but I'm like, kids, you know, we also are in the jail 3 days a week and in the juvenile.
You're in the jail 3 days a week?
We teach the Juvenile Justice Center, yeah. The fun thing about that is we used to just do 2 days a week, and they've asked if we could come on Saturdays now to add a movement class again, because they have just been, these kids perform better. But circling back to the response that I get from the kids is even these kids, we try to get them, oftentimes when we're so busy, we forget to dream, we forget to sort of want a better, you know, place for our youngers. And I always joke about it, but I'm on the 500-year plan. And if we can get these youngers fully engaging, and if they can kind of rise above the raising and moving forward, then, it's my Martin Luther King dream, for lack of a better word. But
that sounds wonderful. I want to hear more about how you're reaching out, some of the tools and some of the more details of some of the techniques that you're using. But I thought it would be just fine to take a little break so we can regroup and see where we're at. And this is an appropriate song. It's Glenn Campbell. Is it Campbell?
Campbell.
Glenn Campbell. Try a Little Kindness. And we're here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show. We're speaking with Lindy Lewis, Underground Kindness. And here's Glenn Campbell. Try a Little Kindness. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And that was Glenn Campbell, Try a Little Kindness. And we're in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. And this is The Morning Show with Susie and Joanne.
Hi. And we are here with Lindy Lewis from Underground Kindness. I wanted to ask you, Lindy, as a nonprofit, I'm sure you must have fundraiser kind of programs. And is there something coming up that our guests should know about and you'd love to have them attend?
Yeah, Joanne, thanks so much. So like I mentioned earlier, we're really starting to be more of sort of an official 501. We've gotten our paperwork. And so with that comes sort of an annual fundraiser. And I've been doing it for several years, but on a real small scale. And then we were able to bring a team in to help last year to do, we call it Shangri-La on the Lake. And it's July 9th, and there will be tickets available the 1st of April. And we'll just sell, I let Kate direct that, but we'll sell probably maybe 100, and it's a beautiful setting, and it's a venue where we'll hear some kids talk about maybe the impacts and how these techniques have helped them in just managing their daily life or managing some of their own thinking. So that's our big one. And then, of course, we have been over the years, initially in the last 5 years, it was a very hard concept and sort of a bit of a paradigm shift to try to get support. So I had quite a few just individual donors start the programming. And now we're just getting, like I say, as our team starts to go and more people catch the vision, we're able to start to apply for some grants. So we've been getting some grant funding and trying to get a little more support, because we're trying to make this a little more consistent, offer some trainings for the compassionists, because so many people want to present, but they're nervous. It's hard to get up there. Like, these are brave, brave people that get up there and present, because we're not trained teachers necessarily, but we care. And we all think that there's a life skill that we can offer these kids. And we share a lot of our own story so kids can have some relating. So we show up maybe a little more vulnerable side sometimes.
One of the things about getting up in front of students, these are middle school and high school students. I teach first and second graders. It's a whole different story. And it does take kind of having a little bit of rapport. I think it's great that they have a little bit of training.
Yeah, that's something we're just introducing now. As I said, we were able to bring a program director on at the beginning of the year to sort of focus on that and to really stay in the correspondence with our teachers, because teachers forget oftentimes and they stay in their zone. And so if we're in there, we pop things in their box or we remind them, it's like drop an Underground Kindness class then if you've got something coming up. Or again, March and May tend to be our busiest months. And because I think, you know, the Charlie Brown wah, 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 wah. I think sometimes teachers start to sound like that to kids, or they glaze over. And it's just fun to mix up the class a little bit and bring in some perspective. Our compassionists are all so lovely and vibrant. And just on that note, if anybody would be interested in being a compassionist, I would love to connect you to our website. And we have, again, a program director now, Tracy Fox, who is starting to work with new compassionists to help educate them or help them get comfortable with their pitch.
So you can just Google Underground Kindness.
It's just undergroundkindness.org, and all of the contacts are on there.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful website, by the way. It
was very helpful. We just got that revised, so it's been great to have a team. Like, that's the most exciting thing for me, is there's people sharing this dream.
You're no longer solo.
Yeah, it's been a lovely transition.
Yeah, I wish this was TV so we could show your koru, which is, what, an unfolding leaf?
The koru is our symbol, and it's really just an inward spiral, and it's a lot about just taking it in. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of value when you can just manage your own stuff.
It's very cool. Symbol of creation, and based on the shape of the unfurled fern frond, but it is on the website.
It has a lot of meanings, and it is it's from the Maori tribe. I mean, it's very tribal, and it's just been a symbol that just taught for me, and everybody probably has a little different, but it's really about taking it in, managing your own stuff, and trying to, you know. We could get into a whole talk on the self-bullying that we do.
One last thing that you want to share with us before we kind of go to our next guest, Lindy. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing this, and for your passion for helping students and children in our community and creating something that's working and is important and probably vital to many of them.
It's a breath of fresh air oftentimes for some of the situations, for sure. And again, like I think I love our teachers so much, and I have so much respect for them, because it is a hard day to teach right now. And there's a lot of pressure on all fronts. So this just offers a little bit of, it's really, and it doesn't cost the school. That's a really important thing. This is a very much coming from a place of grace, where we champion the cause, now where we champion the fundraising for it, so that the schools don't, they just call in. And we do offer our compassionists a small honorarium for their time, because it does take them time to get out of whatever their day. Some of them donate it, some of them don't, but that it's, you know, our yoga teachers oftentimes need that stipend. So
they're valuable. They're valued.
Very. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very important exchange for me. And so that was, you know, one of the ways we would raise money for the programming itself.
Yeah. The programming that you're doing is wonderful. And it's so good to know that students are getting help with not only their academics, but their social and emotional side of life.
I think a lot of what we try to just show them is that, you know, if we can soften a tiny bit to those around us, or even in our own class, or one's faces you've seen growing up with, mm-hmm. We're all going through a lot of this stuff together, even as adults.
That has to develop their self-confidence, and that's what we really want.
Well, thank you very much, Lindy, for coming in. Lindy Lewis, with your vision. And, you know, it's a perfect picture of It Takes a Village.
Oh,
here it,
takes
it is,
a village.
Right here.
Right here.
You've taken up one of the components.
I've been a single parent for 15 years, and it has taken a village.
And
the teachers are proud of that, mm-hmm. big time.
Website is undergroundkindness.org. And thank you again for coming in. We have another guest coming in. It's Debbie Love from the Young Women's
Distinguished
Young Women. Yeah. And they'll be right in. But we're going to hear a song first. And that song is Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are, asked by Lindy Lewis to play, requested. So here you are. We'll be right back. Stay with us.